Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I want to say I count it a real privilege to be able to be here again, see all you folks. But we are desperate for the Lord's help.
Yes, indeed we are.
I don't think we really know just how much that we need the Lord. We think sometimes we have the ability to alter or change the way we do things just because we think we can. I'm really of the belief that you may be able to do that if you have the will to do it. But, thank you. But what's going to cause you to want to? There's the big issue. I've got to want to. And what's going to cause me to want to is the work of the Lord. It's the Lord's inspiration in our life, the Lord's move in our life. Sometimes it takes, even for good people, it takes the motivation of the Lord to cause them to want to go into higher ground or to do right things and that kind of thing. We need the Lord today, and through this meeting, it's kind of an underlying burden that I have on my heart that the Lord would help us to have the will. If folks come in here that aren't among us, if visitors come in here or someone that comes in here that needs to be saved, somewhere they're going to have to get the will, the want, to be saved. It's the work of the Lord to do that. We can give the opportunity, the space, we can make the environment for it, but the Lord's going to have to work and cause there to be the will, the want to do it. And we pray that the Lord would pour out His Spirit in a way that would cause all that's involved to have the desire to have the fullness of God, and that we here, us, that we would have the desire to correct problems, that we would have the desire to make right wrong, or wrongs right, that we would have the desire to push on in a world that is doing everything but pushing towards God, that we would, in a sense, swim upstream against the currents when it's easier to let loose and drift. It takes energy, it takes effort, it takes work. Beyond it all, it takes the will to do it. And I've admired it in my life, and of those that had it and desire that people have, sometimes, as Paul said, people do it for corrupt crown. But you get lessons from that. It is something to admire when somebody, even for a corrupt crown, pushes beyond what you humanly think would be possible to gain that reward. You look at that and say, if they do it for a corruptible, then Lord help us. I don't find it near as hard to accomplish as I find it to have the will to do it. Lord, help us to be able to have that kind of a desire in our hearts. I'd like to start this morning with the Ephesians, verse in the 16th verse maybe. Well, we'll go back. 14th verse says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Walking circumspectly means circling a matter. You don't dive into it. You walk around it, considering it. What does it mean? How is this going to end? One of the things that the people of the world, the leaders of the world, one of the things they lack, I don't always doubt people's motives. I think there's people out there that really, I can't imagine somebody living in the United States I can't imagine somebody living and wanting things to be bad.
No.
I think they want things to be good. I think they look and say, I wish we lived in a utopia. I think this is how you get to it. I think that's what they do. I think they're terribly misguided. I think they really lack a fundamental wisdom.
Yes.
Wisdom being the ability to see an action and understand its result. That's wisdom. Wisdom says a little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands will bring you to poverty. It's able to see the action and see and vision the results of that action. That's wisdom. I think people lack the wisdom. So I think they want good. I think they want a peaceful world. I think they want a world self-sufficient. I think they want all good things for all good people. I think the people that would like to take from those that have and give to the... I don't think that's evil. I don't think they have a bad mind of wanting right things. Everybody to have plenty. I think they have a good mind. I just don't think they know the results of what they're saying. I think they lack wisdom in all this. I don't think that the people that are out there saying that it's all right, love, they're using love in the wrong way. They're saying it's all right, love, how can love be bad? How can two guys loving each other be bad? They're warped in all that and they don't understand where that's going to take us.
Yeah.
The Scripture says to walk circumspectly. If you don't understand it, get understanding of it. We have a God that knows all. We don't need if the people of God to run into something and pay the results of that because we have a God that knows. So don't walk, jump into things or run into things, but walk circumspectly until you understand the situation and see the and understand it. We need to understand it. And the Scripture says redeeming the time. I think about it often because of the time we live in. I hope you see the time we live in. When Jesus was asked about the time, he was asked one time about when shall this be? He was asked some questions about the destruction of the temple, about the end of time, and they asked him, when shall this be? Jesus gave them information that if they had ears to hear, then let them hear. Let them understand what this is meaning, what he was saying. And he gave instructions that many, many years later, people that had heard, people who understood that this had been brought to, was able to move on this information. They was able to prepare themselves.
Yep.
That's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about getting ready. These people that were in Jerusalem at the time, and the times that the armies, this is a very, very interesting time to me. Because we are given the great privilege to understand, Jesus actually prophesied this. It was actually given to these people. And it was, he laid it down real close. One stone wouldn't be laid upon another. That literally was true. That actually took place. The words that Jesus said, told by the Jewish historian, he was not a Christian, he was not trying to prove the point of Christ. He was giving, Josephus was actually giving Jewish history. Said it almost the way Jesus did. And he wasn't using Jesus' words. Jesus so told it that the people that were in Jerusalem, the Christians that were in Jerusalem at the time, had something that he said, when you see these things, get ready. Now, I want to say to us, Lord, help us here, because I think we ought to always be ready. But how are you going to cause your human frame to be in the urgency of it? How are you going to do it? I've not been able to manipulate myself like that. I need something from the Spirit of the Lord to motivate us, to help us into there. And he told us, and he told them, this was the motivating factor that he was going to use. He gave them the words and the understanding of what it was going to be like. And when they started seeing these things happen, the words of the Lord was ringing through the Spirit to them. It's time to get ready. It was said that not one Christian was caught in the siege at Jerusalem. How could it have been? They got ready. That's how it happened. They got ready. They heeded the warning. Folks, look around us. Look around us. Look at the world. This is the time that the words of the Lord are coming true to our lives. We need to get ready. Now, I heard a story recently. I don't have it exactly in my mind, so I'm going to tell it the way that I believe I heard it. It sounded like it was in the days of slavery. And I don't know exactly how it was told, but it was said something like this, and somebody asked something about asked the slave man and said something about the master going to heaven or something. And he said, "No, sir. No, sir." "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, my master said when the master get ready to go on a trip, he gets ready. He gets ready." Said he goes up to the third place. He gets ready. He packs. He gets ready. Said he's always getting ready. Master ain't going nowhere. He ain't getting ready. He ain't going nowhere." Now, folks, are we going anywhere? Are you going? If you're going, you're going to have to get ready to go. You can't go not ready. The scripture says redeeming the time. There is no crank that you back up time on. Yesterday's gone. What I did yesterday, can't get it back. But the illusion here is that if you're on a timetable, if you're on a set time to get somewhere, and you fooled around yesterday, you don't get yesterday back. And if you fool around today, you don't get the day back. But you do have tomorrow. Okay? And if you've walked yesterday and you've walked today, you better run tomorrow. It's time to pick up the pace. That's what this is alluding to. Pick up your pace. If you don't have a strong desire, I would recommend that you start praying that the Lord would stir. You don't know what that'll cost you, but it's a part of getting ready. It's a part of getting ready. Lord, stir my heart. Help me not to be, this says, awake, awake. We live in a time that we're being put to sleep. We're not getting ready like we ought to get ready. I know I fight this. I fight all this news, all this bad stuff to the point that I've actually said, "Oh, forget it." I'm tired of dealing with it. We can put ourselves, let us just go to sleep about the whole thing. Get away from the whole thing. But the Lord wants us to redeem the time. We need to redeem the time that we have. We have today. We haven't squandered today yet. Today's a good day to say, "Search me, O Lord. Help me." I'd like for the tent to be full today. And I'd like for all the saints and sanctified people be up here. And I'd like to have a whole bunch of people that don't even know the Lord or anything about it. That would be thrilling. But if that don't happen, what are we going to do? We're going to have to deal with us anyway. Lord, help me to consider my own life. I've got today to redeem. I've got today to look and say, "Lord, I haven't been running real well. I could have been running better. I've got some issues in my life. I've got some things into my life. I believe in a working God. I believe in a live God, a living God, a God that works in our lives. I believe a God that can help us with the carnal things of life, the attitudes of life. But believe in God that can straighten us up in our attitudes, our emotions, our things. I know we're human. We're going to always have to deal with things. But we got a God that's bigger than all those things. I don't want to come to the end of my life. I've said it many times. I don't want to be an old man at 80 years old, grumbling and snarling and snapping at people around me. I don't want to be a bitter old man, a hard old man. I want the Lord to help me to be what I ought to be. I want to be one that has some integrity and some respect and something that's built something in my life. I want to be that kind of a person. But how am I going to be able to do it? That's where I find the issue about. As long as I've got an issue, then what to and let's start to want to believe we'll have it. But what if I lose the motivation to want it? What if I don't want? What if I can't fight? What if for right now I'm easy to say? If I say a word out of it, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't do that. I'm sorry. But what after a while and get to lose? I don't get to all I say I'm sorry anymore. What kind of old fellow am I going to be? Lord, help us. Got to get ready. The whole thing about this existence, folks, is about getting ready. You're healthy today. You might not be tomorrow. We see it all the time. We need to get ready. Very familiar passage of Scripture in Matthew 25. No, I believe this is one I want. 25 of Matthew, starting with the first verse. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise, now again, I want to use my favorite definition. My favorite definition of wisdom is the ability to see the results of an action. It's very simple. Yeah. But the ability to see the results of an action is wisdom. The wise was able to see the results of an action. At some point, there's 5 virgins, or there's 10 virgins, 5 of them wise and 5 foolish in the same situation. The 5 wise says, it's going to cost me something. Yes. Okay? Do you know that the wise paid something that the foolish ones didn't? You don't get oil for free, folks. No. It isn't true in life, and it isn't true in the spiritual realms. You don't get oil for nothing. No. It costs you to get it. But the wise says there's going to be a time that the actions that I do now are going to pay me great dividends. Well, it's wisdom. If you're wise in the world and wise in the way of the stock market, you buy low and sell high. It's called wisdom. I can see the result. I see something that's going to go up. I buy it at the time. It goes up. I sell it. I've got benefits from it. The foolish are in the same place. Listen, the foolish was in the same. The foolish ones could have bought 2. The only difference was they didn't pay the price. They didn't get ready. You know, it'll be worth it no matter what your price is today. Now, I know it can be hard because we can think of a lot of prices. We can think of a lot of things that might happen in life. But it'll be worth it to make sure that you're ready. It's going to cost you. I'm not one of those preachers that stands up and tells you all this like some of them do. You sit here and give your money to me and everything will be fine. No! You're going to have some hard times in life. By the mercy of God, to get your will and your ways pointed towards Him, you'll have things come in your life. You don't have the ability to stir yourself up. You don't have the ability to change what you think and feel about something. Try it. Try to feel something about something and say, well, I shouldn't feel it. Well, I'll change it. Or I want to feel different. No, you'll have a hard time. I'm telling you, you can't just will yourself to do it. God can work in our lives to change those kind of things. And He does, and He'll bring things. There is times that the Lord has helped me in my wanderings and during living life, and I'll be on the path of the Lord, but I'll be getting to drift one side or another, and something's going to happen to get me, I better get right back in the path again. And the Lord will just remind me time and time again of my inability. And I'll tell you one time, I felt like one time I was struggling in a way. It wasn't big things, but it was just that I felt like I was needing something in my life, and I couldn't bring myself to it. And I still remember what happened. And it sounds so maybe insignificant, but it sure stirred me to how much I needed the Lord. My neighbor lady had some trash she wanted hauled off, and I had some stuff, so I was going to take some stuff to the landfill. And I filled all my truck up with what I had, and I got all of her stuff. And she had some old storm windows that had been taken off, and the nails were still through the frames. And whoever wanted them nailed on meant it, because they were nailed. There was nails all over those frames. Well, I put those up on the truck, and my neighbor lady, she says, "Well, Marty, don't you think that you ought to tie those down?" "No." "Why, they would never come off of there," I say. In famous last words, "I should have strapped them down." Oh, wisdom says, this is my action. Here's going to be the results. Wisdom would have sat them down. But you got to pay the price to do that. I got to go get the stuff to strap them down with. And it takes time to strap them down. It also takes time to unstrap them. It's time. But the foolish says, "Nah, don't need to do that." So I take off going to the landfill. And there's some, I don't know, kind of call them hoopty-doos or whatever, their rises, you know, that goes like this. Well, I come over one of those in my truck, and I hear this noise of the wind picking those frames up off my truck, and they had glass in them, too. And it come off the truck, and one of them did, and landed nails up in the road as I go by. And immediately, I'm thinking, "Oh, no, glass everywhere, nailed frames up." And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, I'm just on the lower side of one of these dips. You can't see anything. I pull off the road as fast as I can, thinking, "Oh, no." And I hear a vehicle coming. You ever feel desperate? Now, I hadn't been talking to the Lord just a whole lot. But it's time to start. And I start. "Lord, help." Over the rise comes this little Ford truck. Pum, 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 right across that frame. Oh. And I'm thinking, there's four. The frame's still there, nails up. Well, that truck went on up there and pulled off, and I hear a Jake brake. You know what I'm talking about, 18-wheeler. 18-wheeler. I don't know. That frame of glass all over the place. I'm panicking. Well, it come over there and took the frame. The 18-wheeler did. Got in the frame and all. Anyway, it went on. The 18-wheeler went on. There was nothing I could do about that deal. I went and got the frame out of the road. The other little trucks up there with flat tires, they're going flat. Anyway, I get that off of there. You know what I felt like? I felt like that I am at the whims of anything that can happen. I can't keep that tree from falling, or at least a limb falling off there and hitting me right on the head right now. I can't keep the wind from picking up and blowing this tent out of here. I can't keep anything from happening. And I come to the realization of it. Lord, I really need you. Now, you're drifting, Marty. You're drifting. Yeah, Lord, I'm drifting. Well, I'm drifting anymore. I need to get ready. Not only for the end of this thing and what's happening, I need to get ready in my life. I need the Lord. You need Him. You need Him in your life. I'm going to tell you, I started talking to the Lord and I've seen nothing. I've seen nothing but bad. What do you see in something like that? Is there any way that you can turn that around that this episode is going to turn out to be good? No, you can't. But there is one that can. And I never saw it. But I'm going to tell you what I've done. I've done my duty, very humbly, but I've done my duty. Told the folks in the truck, you get them fixed. Gave them my name. You get it fixed. I'll pay for it. Okay? The whole deal. They took off because they needed their tires plugged. It was fast, or new tires, or whatever it was. They ended up coming back by, and I'm out there with a broom. I'd went and got a broom. And I'm sweeping glass. I know I could have run. I know I could have left it. But I'm out there with my head down doing what I should have done. Oh, it was... If I'd have strapped them on. But now I'm cleaning my mess up. These people come back by. And I said, what I owe you? Nah, nothing. Nah, come on, let me... Nah. Said, well, I want to tell you something. We really appreciate what you've done. And I'm saying, what? Yeah, last week a log come off of a truck. Smashed the front end of my wife's car. Trucker never even stopped. He said, you're out here sweeping glass up. He said, we just want you to know we appreciate it. That you're willing to take care of what this done. And said, we really, really appreciate it. And we don't want to have to pay for it. I was honored because of the Lord, of what the Lord did. Folks, we need to get ready. We need to get ready. Now, here's the story. There's five wives took oil in their vessels with their lamps. I think it's impossible that we don't realize that we're going to need oil in our vessels. Get the analogy. You got an oil lamp. It takes fuel to make light. You burn it long enough, you're going to need to put more oil in it, right?
Yep.
You live this life long enough, you're going to need more oil.
Yep.
That's all there is to it. We got to be wise about it. I don't know what you got on hand or how your life's going right now, but I'm going to tell you something. You're going to need oil. You're going to need the Lord more and more. You're going to need something in your vessels. The wise said that I'm going to be wise, and at some point, I'm going to have to get oil. I know I'm going to burn out what I got. Folks, you're going to burn out the grace you have for today. You're going to burn out the experiences that you had. You're going to burn them out. And you're going to need something. And it's a good time to get it. Make sure that you got a live flow of it. The wives took it. It says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. I've thought about that many times, and I'm even aware that this scripture is probably talking about a lot more than just the particulars we get out of it, probably alluding to the Jewish nation and a lot of different things. But I want to say that this idea that they all slumbered and slept is a part of life. We are made to redo ourselves through sleep.
Yep.
As much as I want to stay awake sometimes and get something done, I start falling asleep.
Yep.
It's a part. You have to sleep. You have to be done. You can't be that spiritual giant on top of the clouds all the time. You can't do it. You're going to have to find the same kind of... If the Lord had to go to His mountain, He had to go to His place of life, He had to go and rest, if He slept in the bottom of the ship, you will too. We all have to be in that kind of a place. Sometimes people get miss the idea or think the idea that there's some kind of spiritual experience sometime where you're all this spiritual thing. No. No. We're humans with the endeavor of serving God and living and being righteous here on this life by His grace and His Spirit. That's all we can be and obtain. But we need to be ready. That's our key, to be ready. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the wise said unto the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, said, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." Now here's one problem. Or that advice is what I want to give today. It's the obvious answer. It's what the wise did. It's just the wise did it in time to make it useful. That's what needs to be done. Go to them that sell today. Go to him that sells and get your oil. It's available. Your time's still there. Redeem the time. Get what you got to have. Deal with the things of yourself. Deal with yourself. Deal with the things of yourself. Get them conquered. Get them won. Well, you got time to do it. Because there'll come a time that the cry will go out. Then to realize I'm short. I never took care of it. I don't have it. Lord, help us to get ready. The day speaks to me of getting ready. When I hear the bad decisions that our nation is making and those in judges and all those people that are making bad decisions, I'm really not discouraged. But I'm not discouraged because God never changes. I'm troubled because I hate to see people hurt. I hate to see what's going to happen to the ones we love and those around us, of course. But I'm not discouraged that it can change me or that I have to lose any ground because of it, because we have a God that's able to keep us through all of this. I believe we actually have a golden time of gleaning here. I think we have a golden time of people saying, I don't understand what's happening. I need something. I think we're there. But not if we don't have it. Lord, help us. Get ready. I'd like to look at another scripture, 14th chapter of Luke. I'm going to pick it up about 25. 14 and 25 of Luke. "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, wife and children, brethren, yea, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be his disciple." Now listen to this. He says right on the heels of this, you know what the Lord's saying? Many people have been deceived into thinking that they can drift into this. They can drift into heaven. You can't. Many people have been deceived into thinking that they can be indifferent about it and make heaven. You can't. This scripture is pretty plain in this. You can't be an indifferent disciple. Indifferent isn't a disciple of the Lord. So don't be deceived today in thinking that in my lethargy I can make it. You can't. "Which of you," he says, right on the heels of this, "for which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. We all are endeavoring to build a tower. We start out with this is an analogy, an allusion to our building our salvation, our lives in the gospel. This is an allusion to what man. He's definitely not concerned about whether you're a prosperous house builder, carpenter, or whatever. No, he's talking about our spiritual lives. Who think you're going to start out being a disciple of the Lord and not count the cost first? Count the cost. What is it going to cost me to finish it? It's going to cost you everything to finish it. That's true. Many, many people have been deceived into thinking that it's going to cost them less. You won't make it less. It won't be made by less. It'll cost it all. Or you can't, the tower will never be built. If we're desiring this above everything else, then we ought to be very desirous of finishing what we started. And he says here, which of you? Again, he speaks of wisdom. He speaks of wisdom. Jesus isn't trying to keep somebody from starting. I'll make his point. This isn't trying to deter somebody from starting. So that's what it almost sounds like. If you're not willing to finish this, don't start. I kind of hesitate to say that into a, don't start if you're not sure. You say, no, we want people to start. Jesus isn't trying to keep people from starting. He's trying to get people to understand what it takes to finish. Starting gets you nothing if you don't finish. Jesus wants the whole thing done. He wants your tower built at the end. Completed. We work on it through our lives. What's it going to take for me to be able... He said, which of you? A wise man would first say, I'm going to build a tower. He sits down first and says, what does it take to build a tower? Now, through our lives, my wife and I have talked many times about building a home, building a house. You know what I've realized? My mind of a house is almost always different from my wife. When my wife thinks of a house, I almost guarantee you her vision is from the inside looking at the walls around her. Yes. Mine's not. My vision of a house is standing off and looking at the house. Do you know that you can build a house that you can stand off and look at? Siding, roof, everything. A lot cheaper than you can build one from the inside. When I started looking at it, I said, well, you can build a house. And look at the prices. Well, you can put in the foundation. You can build it up. You can side it. You can do all this. But if you don't put electric, plumbing, cabinets, sinks, drains, sewers, all that. You get off pretty cheap. It's just, what are you going to live in? You go in, it's nothing but studs, walls. If you don't finish, you don't mud, you don't do lights, and you don't do all that. Listen, you know most of your expenses of a house is inside the house and those kind of things? But when I look at a house, I look at it out here. But the Bible says, which of you intending to build a tower? Don't sit down first. It'd be foolish. It would be foolish for me to sit down and look at all the plywoods, the blocks, everything to build a house that I see from the outside as a pretty house. It'd be foolish to just count that and say that's all it takes to build a house. No, you sit down and you start saying it takes so much. It's going to take a break. It's going to take breakers. It's going to take a box, electrical box. It's going to take wiring. It's going to take plumbing. It's going to take... And you sit down, and then you get the real cost. Jesus is trying to get us to understand, do you know what's against you to be successful in this? The devil and all of his imps are against you. Very powerful force it's against you. Do you realize that the whole world and the motion and the thought of the world, all of its literature, I'm saying outside of godliness, God, all of its literature, all of its entertainments, no matter how well they try to do it, no, all the influences of the world around you is against you making it. Do you know that your own nature is against you? And the Lord wanted His people, the ones that would start out for Him, to realize all of this is against you. And you need to count all of that. Because you know what it takes? You know what it really takes to be successful? If any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, wife, and children, brethren, and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He wanted them to understand what it cost to be a real child of God. It hasn't changed in all these years. We're not interested in playing games here or giving you some kind of a good feeling. We're interested in you seeing the truth of it and being ready. I know we draw back from the cross. But Jesus said, unless you take your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. You can't be. There's no other option with it. You lay your cross down, you're not a disciple. If you put mother, if the term hate is not the right, it doesn't fit the way we in the English use it. This idea of hating your mother, it does not mean the way we say it. It means to love less than. If you don't love God more than you love your own mother, you can't be a disciple. Now, I like to say, you probably heard, many of you heard me tell it, but I remember I was in the fifth grade or fourth, fifth grade, and I had a teacher in there. If we come up and ask her, can we go to the bathroom? She would say, can ya? Because she was trying to teach us something that's the wrong word to use, because it speaks of ability. I either can or I can't. It's not asking permission. You're asking whether you're able to do it or not. And she wanted us to say it right. So we would have to say, can I go get a drink? Can you? May I get a drink? Then you're asking her permission. There's no doubt that you can do it. You're asking permission. Jesus did not say you may not be, as if he was giving permission or not giving permission. He was not giving you permission or not giving you permission. It's not possible. You can't be a disciple and not hate your mother, father, brother, sister. Your own life has to be loved less than you love God. You've got to be a disciple. It isn't Jesus saying you may not be. You cannot be a disciple of the Lord if you don't love Him more than you love your own life. My burden this morning is that we have the desire to get ready. Because it takes something to get the desire. Lord, help us to see the signs of the time. See that we need to be ready and fervent. I would pray that the Lord would have mercy on all of us. I know that there may be some in you that may not even live that long. But Lord, help that the Lord would help us to get ready before that time comes. To get ready. To stay ready, to be ready to meet the Lord. To be ready to face the opposition that comes in our life. Do you know that the opposition that is coming against Christianity today is verbal, but it's becoming more militant. You notice? Its history is militant. It is going to get militant. It is going to become very militant, and we need to look at that and say,
I know what I need to be. Lord, help me. I know that when I face that, I need to be able to have within me the ability to love them no matter what, just like the Lord did. That's going to be my victory. And that they cannot shatter my love for them no matter what abuse they do to me.
Amen.
I'm talking big here. I'm talking Jesus. Right?
Amen.
I know that I need to have the grace of God in my heart to the point that I can say to them, or I can say to the Lord on their behalf, don't charge them with this, Lord. Okay? But am I ready for that? Is that what I got? Do I have enough of the Lord in my life to be able to face that? Have I got the ability to be able to get it when it comes? That no matter how militant, I think some of this stuff is very ugly, but I pray that the Lord would help me to keep my love for them through it all. To know that they have been taken advantage of the time, the devil. They have been born in this time and raised in a way in a certain time and place. You know what all they all need? The Lord. They need the same chance we've got. They need the same Lord that saved us from our problems. That's what they need. And Lord, help me to be able to have it in my heart. Lord, help us to get ready for the time that we live in. To be of the right heart and mind. To be able to want to say about our own lives, Lord, I need a change in my life. Help me to will it. Help me to desire to want that. It's more than just a head knowledge, but I need it. And Jesus was saying here, which of you intending to build a tower? Lord, help us. Because what we would have to do, I need to build this tower. You need to build your tower. But what if you come down and say, as Jesus said, sit down first? And you sit down and you say, in the honesty of your own soul, I don't have enough to build this tower. That means it's going to cost you. That's what it means. Material costs money. To build a house, you know what money really is in our society? Money's time. If you don't believe me, go and check the interest rates out and stuff. It's all on time. Money's time. If I could get somebody to hire me for $10 an hour, the next 5 hours would mean $50. Money's time. That's all it's ever been. That's what it is. When you squander your money, you squander your time because it's going to take you time to get more. That's the way it works. That's what it is. It's going to cost you to get materials to build your tower. Everything's a cost, folks. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you that old cross. That old cross is going to cost you. Oh, it's going to cost. Sometimes it costs us, we're going to have to humble ourselves. It's going to cost us. It's going to cost us some pain sometimes. Sometimes it literally costs blisters. It costs work sometimes. Sometimes things happen, like I say, it's going to cost, you're unwise and you let some frames up there. Somebody might cost you some tires sometimes. Remember another time things was happening in my life? I remember it very well because things like this, I ended up always thanking the Lord for these kind of times. I had that big station wagon I had, and I pulled into this place. And when I backed up, I teach my children to drive. And I always thought that I was a good driver. And probably if you'd asked me today, I'd probably still say, yeah, I handle things pretty well, a vehicle. I mean, I know how to drive. And I can back real well, stuff. But this particular day, I got in that car, turned that wheel, and watched the back end. Now, when you're backing, folks, you got to watch the front end. Where are you going with the front end? And I curved that thing and shot the gas to it to pull back and knocked a gas meter off of a deal, caught it with my bumper, and knocked that gas meter slick off. This jet engine sound, so whoo, this gas was blasting out of there, and I'm in a panic. Nobody's around. This is over in Elkins Town. We live close by. And I'm in a panic because, in my mind, gas is money. And this gas is going, and I start running, trying to And finally, I find somebody and said, I knocked this gas meter out. And he's, okay, well, we'll call. So they called. And then I'm there wondering what to do. And I hear these sirens. You know, they can make a big deal in some of these towns. Here comes the whole fire department. And I'm thinking, oh. Guy comes in. Gets his he had a toolbox. And in that toolbox was two items. A hammer and a plug. I'd have never thought of it. He opens this up, gets this wooden plug out, and this big hammer. He comes over and puts that down in there, pump, 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 and stops it off. And I said, that's it? Yep, that's it till the gas people get here. Well, a little while the gas company come and turned it off. So that was took care of. I asked the gas company, well, I want to be responsible for this. What do I, you know, what I have to do? And he said, well, you knocked the meter off. How do we know how much gas we lost? Oh, well, that works that way. Yep. You know, I ended up, I'm going to tell you what it done for me. I drove the rest of the way home with this feeling of, Lord, if you don't keep me from going over the hill, I'll probably go over the hill. If you don't keep this car running, I'll probably be stuck here on the mountain. I thought I could drive, knock the meter off. I was in this panic again. I felt like I was so out of control. You know, we need somebody to call on. I thank God that He's given us the privilege that in those kind of times we can call upon the Lord. We need to be ready. You need to be ready in your heart today, ready for the time to come, ready for today. You need to be ready for today. You know what you need to do? You need, like the guy said about his master, Master ain't going nowhere. I know he ain't going nowhere. He ain't going to heaven. He ain't going nowhere. He ain't getting ready. We need to be a people that just saying they're going somewhere. Always getting ready. Get ready to go to heaven. Getting ready. Lord, help us. Deal with it on a daily matter. About my attitudes. About what I say. The way I say it. Lord, hone me up. Sharpen me up. Lord, help me to be what you'd have me to be in this life. Help me to be ready. Make sure that every day I keep it clear before me and the Lord. There's nothing between. You know what that means? That means it's right between me and the Lord. Then if it's right between me and the Lord, it has to be right between me and my wife first. Yeah. It has to be right between me and Brother Ed first, or it ain't right between me and the Lord. It has to be me or right between me and my children, or it ain't right between me and the Lord. It has to be right with me and my neighbor that drinks a lot. It has to be right between me and him, or it ain't right between the Lord. I have to get ready to know that it's all right. Because at the 12th hour at midnight, one of these times, there's going to be a shout. And it's going to say the bridegroom's coming. Whether it's for me individually or us collectively, there's going to be the words, the bridegroom cometh. And then I'm going to turn around and see, am I still lit? That's my little message for the day. If you're here and there's things in your life that you wouldn't, let me say, if you wouldn't want to meet the Lord with them, I don't want you to be delusional today. You ain't going to make it. With the devil against you and all of his angels and with the whole world against you and your own nature against you, you're not going to make it if you're indifferent. You're going to lose. Yeah. I don't want to lose and don't want you to lose. Lord, help us to get ready. You pray for me.